So we're jumping into our exploration of the source material today, and specifically we're looking at the research of historian Luis Suarez. And, I mean, it really challenges this standard story we all know.
Oh, definitely. The one where democracy just, you know, magically appears in an English meadow or maybe a Parisian cafe.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But according to Suarez, that narrative is missing this massive 1,000-year-old foundation laid in a place the Phoenicians actually called the Land of Rabbits, which is, of course, Spain.
Yeah, the Land of Rabbits. It's honestly one of history's greatest disappearing acts. We've been so conditioned to ignore Spain's role as this global architect of thought.
So our mission today is really to uncover these Spanish roots of the modern world.
Yeah.
Because, like the rights you claim, or even the math you use to check your bank account, they were forged there.
They were. And to understand how, we have to look at this desperate survival move by the Visigoths. So in 589, they're ruling the peninsula, right? But they're this tiny minority of Arian Christians,
which the local Roman population saw as completely heretical.
Right. So the Visigoths realized they were essentially living in a Roman house, but using their own tribal furniture. And it just wasn't working at all. So at the Third Council of Toledo, they do something radical.
They burn their own furniture.
Basically, yes. They entirely abandon their language and their Arianism, and they adopt Roman culture and Catholicism. It's a massive software update.
It's the ultimate cultural reboot. Because by adopting the Lex Romana, they shifted the whole society from tribal loyalty to this concept of legal personhood.
Exactly. For the very first time, the law stood above the king's whim, because if you were a person under this law, you had rights. Right. So the monarch couldn't just, you know, delete because he's having a bad day.
Right. And they actually put this in writing. Like, Isidore of Seville defined the monarchy with that phrase, rex iris si recte facias.
You will be king if you act rightly.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, it's not just a moral tip. It's a legal contract. It basically says if the king stops acting rightly, he's just some guy in a crown with no actual power.
And that exact contractual mindset leads directly to the birth of the commons. This is in 1188 in the Kingdom of Leon.
Okay, wait.
Yeah.
I have to push back here for a second. Because every history book I've ever read says the British Parliament is like the mother of parliaments.
Mm-hmm.
Are we actually saying London just copy-pasted this from a Spanish model?
I mean, in a very literal sense, yes. Because Simon de Montfort, the guy credited with founding the English House of Commons, he spent significant time in Spain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he actually saw the Cortes in action. In Leon, the king couldn't just pass a tax to fund a war. He had to get the guy growing the wheat and the guy making the shoes to agree to it.
So they invited the Third Estate into Parliament decades before the Magna Carta was even a thought.
Right. It was a functioning balance of legislative, administrative, and judicial branches.
Hmm.
Centuries before the Enlightenment, Spain had this blueprint for the separation of powers.
That is just wild to think about. And it wasn't just law. It was the actual logic of the modern mind. Like, if you were holding a smartphone right now, you're holding a piece of Spanish history. Specifically, the number zero.
Oh, the School of Translators in Toledo. This changed absolutely everything. Before them, Europe is over there trying to do math with Roman numerals.
Which is a nightmare. I mean, try doing long division with LXXXV.
Right, it doesn't work. So Gerbert of Aurillac, who later becomes Pope Sylvester II, he travels to Spain to retrieve the work of Al-Khwarizmi. He had to translate the logic of nothingness, the zero, into Latin.
And Latin didn't even have a word for it. Right?
Exactly. And that translation is what jump-started Europe's transition to algebra. The Toledo school was basically this conduit for Eastern wisdom. They even rescued Aristotle from obscurity and handed his works over to the University of Paris.
So they're providing the math and the philosophy. But what about the moral side? Because we normally think of, you know, inalienable rights as this very 18th century American invention.
Well, the school of Salamanca was already writing about this stuff in the 1500s. Theologians like Vitoria and Suarez.
The idea that just by being human, you have reason, so you have inherent rights.
Yes. Life, liberty, property, rights that no government can grant or take away. It's the exact same logic you find in the U.S. Constitution, but they were writing it 200 years earlier.
And their whole approach to justice was different, too. Like on the Camino de Santiago, there was this concept of the Gran Perdonanza.
Right, the Great Pardon.
Yeah. Instead of just like an eye for an eye, they focused on restoration and reconciliation. It was essentially an early attempt at restorative justice.
It all really points back to the same truth. Spain wasn't just a military power. It was Europe's legal and intellectual laboratory for a millennium.
So here's the thought I want you to walk away with today. If Spain provided the blueprint for our rights, our math, and our democratic structures, Why were we so easily convinced by the Black legend that it was just this land of cultural stagnation?
It really makes you rethink things.
It does. Next time you claim a right or solve an equation, ask yourself, what other parts of our modern identity are actually ancient Spanish legacies hiding in plain sight? A great place to start that reevaluation is by looking into the medieval Spanish usages, or customs. They might just change how you see modernity.